For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord. This morning, let's open in prayer as we commit ourselves to hear from the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful blessing and your help in our lives. And Lord, we commit ourselves to hear from you this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your help in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we're looking at cease from your own works. Cease from your own works. And you should be able to gather from that title that not that we're not to do any works, but we're to cease from doing our own type of works. In other words, to be running after to do just what we want to do, but to look to do what the Lord wants us to do. So let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And we'll look at verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And we want to see what is it that God is perfecting us in our Christian walk to do. What is God perfecting us in our Christian walk to do? So it says in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So these two verses have a lot in it. We can see here that it was through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says there, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that we came into covenant, that we came into a connection with the Lord. It was through him. So it wasn't our own work that got us saved. It was through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, by him going to the cross and going into hell, suffering for us, and then was raised from the dead and sits at the right hand of God the Father to ever intercede for us. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has done a great work, done a great sacrifice. So once we're saved, we need to know, well, what is the Lord doing in our lives? What's he doing, and what does he want us to do? And we see here, in verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So straight away, you should be able to see that good works and doing God's will is what God is wanting us to do. So doing is an action thing. You don't say, well, I know what God's will is, but you don't do it. See, God's will is in his word. God's will is in his word very clearly. It's God's will for his people, for example, to fellowship in a church. It's God's will for people to tithe. It's God's will for people to pray, and so on and so on. So we see that there are good works that we've got to be doing, but God is going to be perfecting in us, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you. So there's a work in you constantly. As a born-again Christian, there's a work in you constantly so that he can perfect you in every good work to do his will. So working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Well, that's faith-based. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Working in you. Working in you. So there is a work. God is working in you. Okay, so we need to acknowledge that God is working in me. We should be saying that. God is working in me. Every day He's working in me. Working in me. That which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. The key few words there. Through Jesus Christ. So it's not us. Okay, it's not us that is saying, well, I'm going to do that thing over there. And that's what I want to do, and you know, anyone else can just get out of the way because that's what I'm going to do and that's it. Now, it's got to be God's will. It's through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Except the Lord build the house, you'll labour in vain. You'll work in vain. You'll do the wrong thing. You'll be labouring in all types of things, but it'll come to nothing. It'll be wood, hay and stubble at the end of your life. And when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, and notice at that judgment seat of Christ, we're not talking about it today, but at that judgment seat, what will happen there? God will judge the works you've done as a Christian. All right, and there'll be some that'll be gold and silver and precious stones, and there'll be some that'll be wood, hay and stubble. Well, the wood, hay and stubble is that stuff which is of no eternal value. No eternal value. So we need to just go back a little bit. We see what God is working in us as born-again Christians. Let's just go back a little bit and just have a look at when you're outside of Christ, what type of works were you doing? What type of works were people doing? Well, you see, if you're in Christ, you don't want to be doing those wood, hay and stubble works. You don't want to be doing the works of sin or the works of the flesh. Okay? You want to be doing the works of God. You want to be doing, as it says there, in every good work to do His will. So that's telling us that Christians have to be doing good work in God. As I said before, you don't get saved by your good works. But once you're saved, you're meant to be doing good works for God. So if you have a look at Galatians 3, look at a few verses in Galatians. Galatians 3, chapter 22. And we see here in Galatians 3, 22, that when we were outside of Christ, there were things we were trying to do, but we weren't matching up with God's standards at all. We just couldn't do it. Galatians 3:22, verse 22 says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." So do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you do, that's the promise by faith. Okay, so we can come into faith. And this is where the good works that we're going to be talking about, and it means that we're by faith doing what God wants us to do. So we're ceasing from our own works and we're doing what God wants us to do. And ceasing from your own works means that you're not just going and doing things that your own agenda, your own will, but you know that God's will, and the Bible says in Colossians, for example, that we're to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Well, if you're filled with the knowledge of His will, and you get that through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God confirming the Word and teaching you, when you're filled with that knowledge of His will, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be doing the good work according to God's will, what God wants. But as we know, there's a lot of people who are doing all types of things outside of the will of God, and it becomes wood, hay and stubble. Verse 22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed." So what do we see here? We see that before faith there was a law by which God had said, this is the way you should go, you know. Within every man there's a conscience. And I would say that within every man there are certain things that they know what is right and what is wrong. Almost everyone knows it's wrong to lie, for example, or it's wrong to murder people. But see, the law has to come to people as well. The written law. The law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. The law that says thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. And so on. Thou shalt not covet. The law of God should come to people. Why? Because they have to see something. They have to see that that's God's standard. They have to see that this is what God wants. He wants you not to do that. He wants you to do these other things for him. They have to see that. But they also have to see that without Christ in their life, without Christ in their life, they cannot do that. Why? Because the dead inner man, that's dead in trespasses and sins, doesn't have the power to keep God's word. Doesn't have the power. There has to be connection to God in order for us to be able to walk by faith and do what God wants us to do. Remember, we read before, God working in us. God working in us so that we're doing things that are pleasing to him. Okay? So we see here in verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So once people realise, and we should understand that evangelism should really be concentrating on this in a major way, rather than just trying to say, oh, you need to say this this sort of feeling good type prayer and invite Christ in. No, they need to know that they are sinners that have failed God's law and in need of Christ the Saviour, absolutely in need of him. Because only through him that we can keep his word so that we can walk in the Spirit. There's no connection to the Spirit of God until you come into Christ. Until you come into faith in Christ. So the law was our schoolmaster, so it's a teaching component to the law, to bring us unto Christ. So the works we might have been trying to do were failing. That's what it's saying. We're failing. And it's only when you come to Christ that there's going to be any of those good works that you can do. Now, it's important for us to see this, because if you don't, then you'll be thinking, oh, well, that moral person can work their way to heaven. You know, they've only told a few lies, or they've only done those, you know, yeah, I know they did that. But see, when you come into Christ, that's washed away. Okay? You're forgiven. You're forgiven. And then the basis for you to go forward to do the works of God is that there is power within you. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Okay? There's that power in us to be able to do what God wants us to do. Let's go back. Well, keep your finger in there and just go back to Galatians 2 verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we see that we now have life in Christ. We're crucified with Christ. We're dead to sin, the Bible tells us. We'll read that in a minute. Dead to sin. And now we're alive in Christ to be able to do what he wants us to do. That is, to be able to keep his word, keep the law, be able to go forward and do his will. So wherefore, verse 24 in chapter 3, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're a child of God now by faith in Jesus Christ. Now you have Christ in you. And we read before that that life within us, it's the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now when we walk, when we go forward, we're talking about walking in the Spirit here, when we're walking in the Spirit, we have the power now to be able to do what God wants us to do. But we have to make that decision to cease from going our own way, cease from doing our own works, and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your will? Because we read before that God wants to perfect us in every good work to do his will. Okay, that's where the perfecting is happening now. Perfecting in us. And working in us. There's a working in us to do that. If you go across to Galatians 5, we'll read verses 18 to 25. Of Galatians 5, 18 to 25. Verse 18 says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Why? Because the Spirit is empowering you. You don't need... you don't need to be, well, we'll put it this way. You know, there are people that only keep the road rules, let's say speeding, because to some extent that is enforced. But if it wasn't enforced, there's nothing in them apart from, I guess, oh, I don't want to go too fast or I might smash and kill myself, but there's nothing in them that is empowering them to keep and go forward in that law. And when you have within you an empowerment and a desire to do what God wants you to do, that's what's going to happen. In other words, you're led of the Spirit. Verse 19 tells us what the works of the flesh are. Now, no Christian should be involved in these works of the flesh. This is the works of going the materialistic, fleshly way. Fleshly-minded way is linked to the world's way. And, of course, the law of God is saying to people who are doing these works of the flesh, don't do that, you've got to do this. You know? For example, as we can see here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Well, what does the Word of God say about adultery? Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's a sin. That's right. Fornication. The Bible says flee fornication. That's the law of God. Flee fornication. Fornication is all sex outside of marriage, which is at the moment greatly... put aside in our society. Uncleanness. That's things like thinking all filthy things and going in your habits completely the wrong way. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So clearly, they're the works of the flesh. What are they going to result in? They're going to result in judgment and curse. So clearly... There's two different types of works, isn't there? There's the bad works and there's the good works. The bad works are all against the law of God. What are the good works? They're all for the law of God. Okay, all for the Word of God. And so we see here that there is, if you're under the Spirit, if you're led of the Spirit, you'll be walking a life that's along the lines of the love of God in your life and of the faith of God in your life. Okay, so if you love God, you're not going to be envying or murdering or being drunk or reveling or getting into idolatry or witchcraft. Okay, and it's the same if you love your neighbour as yourself. You're not going to get into these type of things. So God's love, which is set abroad in our heart, and God's faith, which is put in us and which we need to exercise, all of that within us, God is doing a work in there. We've got to be open to say, Lord, I know that you're perfecting me in every good work to do your will. We've got to be open to having God's knowledge come into us, the knowledge of his will come into us, so that we are full of that knowledge, full of that, and we're not actively seeking to try to do our own will or do our own things all the time. In other words, we cease from doing our own works. If you look at verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and this is a person who's walking in the Spirit, is love. These are the things you're going to reap. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, are these the type of things you want in your life? Well, clearly they are if you're a Christian. And even non-Christians, they want love, joy, peace and all that type of thing as well, but they don't know how to get it properly. They're seeking it in all the wrong places. Well, there's only one place you can get this properly, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where we have the power. That's where we're able to walk in the Spirit, because we have him in our life. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So we see here that if we're going to be walking according to the Spirit of God, we're going to be doing the right works, which will result in good fruit. Because what are you doing when you're doing good works? You're doing things that are going to be sowing into the kingdom of God. Okay? Every good work you do along the lines of the will of God has eternal implications. Realise that, because we talked about that judgment seat of Christ. And so in the judgment seat of Christ, your good works will be looked at. You know, your salvation in terms of are you saved and going to heaven, that's not judged there. Okay. Because if you're born again, your eternal life starts then. God is speaking to Christians right across this planet now and saying, get in line with my will. Get in line with my will so that you can work according to my will and do what I want you to do. So it says in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if you're along the lines of the works of the flesh, you're going to be following the affections and lusts of the flesh. All right. Verse 25, if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you say, I live in the Spirit, well, then you've got to walk in the Spirit. It's an active thing. It's an action thing. So you've got to do the works of God. Look at Romans 6, verses 8 to 14. Romans 6, 8 to 14. Now God is speaking to his people. He's saying, get out of compromise. Don't conform to the world, but conform to the image of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Get out of compromise, because compromise will only lead you into that destruction. And of course, there's whole sections of the church which are compromising and are being destroyed. Well, God can't allow that to stay in his body, in the body of Christ. God will not allow that to stay, because God is looking for people who are zealous of good works, who are zealous to do what he wants them to do. Alright? So Romans 6, Looking at verse 8 to 14. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So we must identify completely with Christ. We live unto God because Christ lives unto God. We are in him and he in us. So we identify completely with him. Completely with him. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 11 is a real key for us if we're to walk into the good to do the good works that God wants us to do. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, if you're dead to sin, then sin or temptation can come, but you're dead to it, you're not connected to it, and you're not tempted. Oh, well, the temptation will come, but you're not going to start to do what that sin wants you to do, that temptation wants you to do. So then you're not going to be led into doing the wrong works. Can you see what I'm saying there? So you can be tempted to do a work that might seem to be nice, but it's appealing to your pride. Someone might come and say, well, oh, you're good in this area. Why don't you do this? But is it God's will for you to do that? That's very important for us to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. Because the devil is very sneaky. He's crafty. And he'll come and he'll appeal to people's pride. He'll appeal to all types of lusts. But if you're a person that doesn't have pride in them, in terms of you've said, well, God hates pride, and you know that, well, that's what the fear of the Lord is. Okay, if God hates pride, we should hate pride and get it out of our language, get it out of our life. So that's just one example of the devil being sneaky and say, well, this is a good work that you can do, but he's appealing to your pride. Well, you've got to make sure that you've got to make sure that you're not lured into that type of thing. You've got to be dead to sin. In other words, you've got to reckon yourself to be dead to sin. Reckon. In other words, you say, I am dead to sin, and see yourself as that when you're in Christ. But alive, so dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, what does it mean? You're connected to God and his will, aren't you? And so when you're connected to God and his will, God is doing a work in you, and he's perfecting in you, as we read before, perfecting in you in every good work to do his will. There's a perfection happening in there. Sanctification process. All right. Separated to do God's will. So verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it. Well, that's works, isn't it? Works of the flesh. That ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as sins of unrighteousness unto sin, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. That sounds like a decision to me, doesn't it? Don't just say, I yield myself to you, Lord. I yield myself to you to do what you want me to do. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And an instrument of righteousness means God can use that. God can use you. God can use you to do what he wants you to do. But you've got to yield yourself to him. You've got to say, Lord, I yield myself to you. I don't want to do my own works. I want to do your works. Can you see what I'm saying here? I don't want to do my own will. I want to do your will. Lord, show me in the name of Jesus. That I not be led astray. That I not be led astray by some prideful lust or some other thing that's tickling various things that I had in the past or whatever. But no, you say, I am dead to sin, but alive unto God. And I am yielding myself to God as my members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your members, that is everything you have in your body to do what God wants you to do. All right. So then you'll be doing the right thing. You'll be doing those good works. You'll be doing what God wants you to do. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. So obviously, we are now wanting to do what God wants us to do. Because we're yielding to God. Okay, so we're not going to be wanting to sin. And if you feel as though, or there's constantly this tension that you have to sin or you fall into sin. Well, that means there's things that need to be done in your life to get that fixed up. You may need to repent of something. You know, you may need to get before the Lord in all sobriety and seriousness and say, Lord, I have not yielded myself to you, but I should, and I do. You know. So verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, so there's something you're doing, isn't it? His servants ye are, to whom ye obey. Wherefore, of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? So God wants you to be obedient. He doesn't want you to be, as we said before, disobedient or doing the works of the flesh. He wants you to be doing His works. He wants you to be obedient. If He says, look, can you pray for half an hour because my servant, who's working over there in Canberra amongst all the heathen politicians there, you know, he's got a work to do there. I need you to pray for him. You know? Or my servant's working over here. I need you to pray for him. Well, there's a missionary who's working in a Muslim country. He desperately needs you. Well, probably not desperately, but he needs you. He needs prayer. He needs prayer, and I want you to do that. But if we can't even pray, if we can't even get past 5 minutes a day prayer, something's not right there. That means we need to yield ourselves to God. This is important. If God says, look, I want you to spend time in my word so that you can be built up in faith for a future time, when I need you to stand in faith and having done all to stand, but I need you to be built up in my word, and you can't even spend 30 seconds studying the word of God, well, there's something not right there. Okay? Or if you don't look at the Bible until you come to church, and so the only time you're looking at the Bible is in the services, something not right there. God wants to build within you. He wants to do a work in you, but He's got to have something to work with. That means you've got to yield to Him. You've got to yield to Him. Cease from your own works and yield to Him. So He says there's an obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Okay, so doctrine is very important. Teaching from the Word of God, very important. It's delivered to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to obey what God wants and do it? Or are you going to not obey? So it's a one or the other type of thing. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the Servants of righteousness. Well, servants do things, don't they? Servants do things. A good servant isn't just lazing around, sitting around and doing nothing. Right. The sinners are out there faithfully serving sin. Well, what should the Christians be doing? They should be faithfully serving righteousness as servants of God. So it's important for us to see that. There's a difference in the Christian who's been saved and God is doing something in them, a work in them. So let's go down to we'll look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, remember uncleanness, that's one of the works of the flesh, isn't it? And to iniquity unto iniquity, that's all that sinful stuff. Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. In other words, righteousness wasn't even part of your life. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. For now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see there is a way of serving God so that you can have fruit. You yield yourself to the Lord. That yielding to God is going to produce that fruit that's necessary. That fruit that's necessary. Because what does God want us to do? He wants us to do good works in Him. According to His will. Remember? According to His will. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 10. This is one we should memorize. This scripture. If you don't know it by now off by heart, and we've quoted it many times in this church, but if you don't know it now off by heart, memorize it, know it, let it sear in your heart. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's the purpose. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? In the good works. We are his workmanship. God has done something in us and is doing something in us. We were created in Christ Jesus. Okay, we were made new creatures in Christ. That's what the Bible says. New creatures in Christ. We were born again and made new creatures in Christ. Changed from being servants of sin to being servants of righteousness. And now God expects us to be doing good works, because it says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained. That is, God has right from the beginning of creation said, well, Craig is going to be doing those good works. And he's going to be walking in them. That's his will. That's what he wants us to do. Because he's ordained that we should walk in them. Not doing our own things, not doing our own will, but doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Look at 1 John 2 verse 17. 1 John 2 verse 17. Just a couple more scriptures. 1 John 2:17. where are you connected to in your life? Are you connected to the will of God or the will of man? Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that, what's that word? Doeth. It's an action word. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There is eternity connected to you doing the will of God. We have been created unto good works. We need to yield ourselves as servants, yield our members as servants of righteousness, yield ourselves unto the Lord. Don't allow temptations to come and deviate you off what God wants you to do. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. You're only going to be able to be filled with the knowledge of God's will is if you put priority on His word, put priority on prayer, get into the word of God, and be filled with the knowledge of His will. So then if something other than the knowledge of God's will comes along and says, well, you should be doing this, you say, no. Now this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to do His good works here. Alright, so notice what it says there, that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what the gold, silver and precious stones of your good works before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ is going to give you. Something that's going to go into eternity. You don't want the woods, hay and stubble type works before the Lord. Like the works of the flesh or other things that have no eternal value. You know, the weights that the Bible talks about. So we're diverted off His will. If that happens, you're in a bit of trouble. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, those works, that wood, hay and stubble will be burned up, the Bible says. Burned up. But if you do the will of God, you abide forever. But the world is passing away, it will passeth away, and the lust thereof. Anything connected with that lust, the works of the flesh and so on, that's all burned up, passed away. Because that can't go into eternity. Past the end of the world, once the end of the world comes, once that happens, you know, there's what God wants to do into eternity. He's revealing that to His servants. So let's just go back to the one we started with right at the very beginning in Hebrews 13. And read it with fresh eyes, verse 20 and 21. And we'll finish with this morning. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And this verse 21 is what I want to emphasize. Make you perfect in every good will to do every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Ever and ever, amen. Now, I've got more to say on this. We'll have to leave it till next time. But what we can see is that God is working in us. We need to be yielded to Him for that. He's making you perfect in every good work to do His will. Notice it says to do His will. It's not just His will is this theory over here. No, no. His will is something that we practically have to outwork in our lives as believers in Christ. So let's close in prayer. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are leading us and guiding us by your Spirit. We walk in your Spirit. We choose to do that, Lord. Help us all to see what your will is in our life. Father, I pray that every person here, every person who hears this, will see that you are working You're working in your people who are yielded to you. Pray, Lord, that that increases more and more. That your people go away from the pettiness and the pride of life, but come into the great things that you have for them, that you may use them as instruments. And Lord, we ask that all true Christians in Geelong will hear of this. Speak to them by your Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Speak to them by your Spirit. Help every one of them. Show them your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, to hear from the Spirit. Shilamo korisht venlis bistakarien ledoshtakali mendorosti. The way of the Lord is straight for his people. The way of the Lord is simplicity in Christ. The way of the Lord is truth, not error. Thank you, Lord.